Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Christo Olivier, an experienced independent solutions architect. Anyway, cheers for taking the time, mate. I know you were in, like, as you put it before, a particularly complex SQL project at the moment. So I'm hoping that this is going to be a refresher and not sort of mind-numbingly boring, so that you kind of go into it even more numb to the equation. So we'll try and stimulate you a little bit throughout this, and maybe you can go back and dominate it. So we'll see. You'll have to let me know after the show. Yeah, one way or the other, and I'll tell everyone how you got on. And I think everyone will be a skeptic, but you know, we'll see how we get on. But we were talking just before we started about contracting and that kind of lifestyle. I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's actually a really compelling proposition. But I think that it's never, I mean, nothing's quite as cozy as it might sound. And I think what, you know, I think most people are really attracted to in life is just stability, isn't it? I think it's like stability is kind of what makes people feel comfortable, you know, whether or not the role that they're in is necessarily the best fit, whether they hate their job, you know, whether they can't stand it, whatever. People just like feeling stable and knowing that paycheck's going to be coming in every single month. And I think that's what deters people, because I think most people would probably turn around and say, yeah, it'd be super compelling to be able to work on a new project like every 6 months. Like, you know, I'd be surprised if most people weren't interested in that, unless they were, you know, the rarity where they were in a role where it was just always kind of compelling. But I think most people would be. But it's got to be that kind of scared, like, of, I don't know, not getting, picking up another contract or anything like that, hasn't it, that I think people kind of shy away from. How was it for you when you sort of decided to get into it?
I think my situation was actually, I might have, during my career, I always worked as a consultant. So to me, it was, my roles originally always had a new client project come along every 3 to 6 months. So I had some very, very interesting work, and I've worked with some fantastic companies in the past. And I've kind of learned during that time as a consultant and going through the ranks that you actually you learn quite a bit of discipline in order to manage your time and your projects. And I think it was easier for me to move into contracting probably because of that than someone that's not used to the kind of churn and the there's a certain level of instability in your personal life that you get when you're consulting. Your next project might take you away from home for a long period of time. So there's always instability one way or the other. And I kind of just traded the instability of finding work and the potential for having a break between contracts for a more stable personal life with the area that I want to work in and the region that I want to work in, so that I can make sure that I get home every night, that sort of thing. So I think it's it was just a trading of the of what level of instability and discomfort I'm willing to stomach. So I think that's kind of how it's played out for me.
Right. Yeah, I like that. It's a nice way of thinking about it, really, isn't it, I suppose? And obviously, it just sounds like the kind of permanent type work where you're all, you know, working on the same company or the same project for forever has just never been an option really for you, or just something that's never been sort of interest, I suppose.
Yeah, I've had it once or twice where I've been on particularly long projects where it does, at some point, I think in my nature, I'm quite inquisitive with regards to new technologies, new ways of doing things. And when you start to do work that's kind of, that becomes monotonous, the same sort of routine over and over, that to me, I'm way scarier of getting caught in that than I am of the risk of potentially not having a contract for a month or two.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's almost kind of an entrepreneurial mentality, isn't it? I do find more and more that it's almost becoming kind of synonymous with, you know, innovative people and technical people, seemingly. But it's certainly like quite an entrepreneurial kind of spirit that people have there, or that you seem to have there, which I can definitely appreciate. I think it's I'm like you. I kind of I like new shiny things and things that are of interest to me. So I like to kind of keep things moving a little bit as well. Just, I think it's just good for you as well. It's like constantly a new challenge, new environment. Like that's just compelling. But I suppose not everyone.
It definitely is.
I suppose that's not everyone's like that.
No, and I mean it is again a case of the career or the way that you work that needs to fit around you and your personality, and there are many factors in it. And I think it's something that we hopefully will get better at in the future, is kind of designing our work life, seeing our entire life and our work life as not two separate things, being able to design it in such a way or take the decisions to get you to a point where you can optimize both of them and make sure that you're happy and fulfilled at work and also happy and fulfilled in your personal life.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with that. There's all we talk about kind of the imbalance and the kind of not sure whether you're going to have a break from work at certain periods of time, etc. I think obviously with just doing a good job, and you know, I think it's part of the past, isn't it? It's like if people, you know, recognize your work, the chances are in this economy that you're never really going to struggle to go into the next role. You know, we're talking about it with Dan, and he's like, God, the amount of times, you know, I've tried to place him, and he gets you, and someone else outbids me, and he's like, God, it's driving me crazy. But, you know, that obviously comes from, you know, the way you've kind of approached things and the work that you've done, which is just obviously a testament to you. But, you know, if you were to kind of say, you know, I suppose how you've kind of evolved to get to that point where, you know, you've become kind of an in-demand type person, you know, what really do you kind of attribute that to? Is it as the kind of the basics of, you know, just working hard and this kind of thing, or is it just, you know, adaptability? Like, is it your approach? Like, I suppose, like, what in particular do you think has kind of held you strong with that, those regards?
That's the million-dollar question. I think everyone tries to answer that for themselves, and everyone has got their own views on that. I think one thing that one should never forget is that being able to work in the UK and specifically in a big city like London, that brings a certain amount of opportunity automatically just by the size of the market. We're really fortunate in the UK to have a really big freelance community, and also employers that make use of the flexible workforce very, very eagerly and are quite set up to do that. I think the other side of that that helped me get to the point where I'm comfortable contracting and doing the work that I'm doing is, if I take it back to when I just started working, I think when you come through the ranks as a junior, you are exceptionally focused on purely the technology aspect, as you should be at that point in time, because you've got to learn all of these skills that you typically wouldn't have if you come straight out of university or when it's your first job. But as I've grown in consulting, I've realized that one of the most important things that you could ever have as a freelancer is learn the correct approaches in order to solve the real core business problems that your clients have. I'm not particularly religious about technology, and I think my focus has always been on creating the best business outcome at the end of the day, irrespective of the technology that we're going to be using. And that seems to be doing well by me, and it really works for my clients as well.
Right, which makes a lot of sense, I suppose. I think that it seems pretty obvious, but in a lot of cases, I could imagine it to be that a lot of people are in contracting because they like working with different technologies, and that's why they're in it, not necessarily because they want to go in working different projects and get the job done. So maybe there is like a difference there, and that's maybe from the client's perspective. How they kind of see things as well is they like people to come in, understand what the business needs are, get the job done, and that's all they essentially, really care about, isn't it? And so it's
Exactly.
understanding that the client's needs first is seems to be, from what you said, I think that's kind of kept you in good stead, and obviously just the ability to execute as well is obviously a huge part of it.
Most definitely. I mean, it is one of those things where you typically pick up these skills if you've been working in consulting, and that's why I've been very fortunate to have had the career that I've had so far. A lot of skills that I've picked up is predominantly because I've been in consulting for so long. So, the sort of having a focus on the business, making sure that we're always addressing those core requirements and not necessarily going off on a technical tangent where you try and implement the latest and greatest technology because that's what you personally want to do. If there's no business case, if there's no benefit to the client for using the latest and greatest, if something that's tried and trusted would serve them better, then at the end of the day, I almost view it as malpractice if you pad your CV with these sort of, well, dare I say, vanity projects that people embark on, pushing untested technology when there's clearly no need for it. There are obviously going to be cases where I do use the latest and greatest because I am a technical person after all, and it does interest me to make sure that my clients are able to take advantage of that. But it really needs to work for the business as well as yours, well, predominantly for the business. That's the people that pay you at the end of the day. So happy clients pay invoices on time. Unhappy clients is luckily something I've not had to deal with in the past, but I'm quite sure they will not be that willing to pay those invoices on time.
Yeah, it's a great point, and I think that's the way you need to approach things. I think it's an interesting time in technology at the moment because you have people who are doing for a living something that they would have done socially had it not been, had it not been a career option. We're at that kind of generation where people are genuinely interested in just technology and they're like into it, and a lot of the people who are, Generation Y, whatever we want to call them, who are involved in technical jobs now. But the chances are that those people didn't get into that because it was part of the curriculum in school. They got into it because they were interested in it in the first place. So you have now a bunch of people who just have genuine passion for it. So that's good. And it's such a privilege, I'm sure, to be able to do something that you genuinely would have done whether you got paid for it or not, for a living. That's kind of, I think that's almost the ultimate privilege. And that's great, but as you said, you still have to look at things and understand things from a business perspective. And it seems from a lot of the technical people that I've spoken to and have had success, the ones who have managed to kind of differentiate themselves and have that success, the ones who have that kind of business macroeconomic understanding as well as just the technical ability. And it seems to be kind of the main differentiator and essentially the ones that clients really look out for and want. So yeah, interesting. Very good, well-rounded off point there. I like that. for someone like me, I actually just started coding, like learning how to code, like literally like a couple of months ago. So like I'm super into it. Like I'm obviously a total layman at it, but you know, just I'm trying my hardest at the moment to try and do it whenever I have kind of an hour here or there, and I'm finding it like particularly challenging. Obviously, I don't think it's an easy thing to try and learn. Well, at least it's not for me. But the thing that I found now, and I had this from someone else, was even someone like myself, to try and figure out like where to even start or what language to even start with was like half of the challenge of like getting into it. You know, it's not like if you were to like, it's not like even if like you were to learn how to like go play golf or something, it's like there's a way to learn how to play golf, and it's pretty obvious. You like go pick up the golf club and like, you know, you learn the fundamentals, right? With yeah. coding, I was like, well, I don't even know where to start. Like what language do I learn? There's like 100 of them. And like, yeah. I don't know any of them at this point. And I'm supposed to know a lot, and they all cross over and this, that, and the other. So I was just like, Jesus. So I was like, okay, so let's just learn like what would be the best thing to learn for me as a beginner. So I was just like, okay, I'd be cool to learn like front end. So I just started there, and that was kind of like, okay, I'll try and learn like HTML, you know, CSS, like styling. So like, all right, let's see if I can like learn how to build my website. And that just for me, like that was kind of served the purpose, and for someone trying to learn. And then, you know, hopefully what would be ideal is to try and learn some kind of automation if I got really good at it, so I could help automate some tasks that I hate to do in my life. That would be the dream for me. And then, if I got to that point, like I would be, I would feel like an absolute rock star coder. So hopefully I get there one day. But I was just thinking about this the other day, like for me and someone who's at my level, it's like super confusing. But at the end of the day, it's not kind of life or death. It's not like my career's on the line. Although it could be one day, who knows? And but for someone who's like, it is their career, and you know, it does matter like where you focus your attention on, and which languages you're learning, which technologies you're focusing on and having to like skill up on. Like it's not obvious, is it? And it's like, seems to me like that would be like such a difficult thing to decide, right? Okay, I'm learning this, and or I'm executing on this right now. However, in 3-4 years, this might be not an ideal skill to have to keep me, you know, relevant in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So I'd have to learn something else. But what do I actually learn? Like, how difficult are those kind of decisions at the moment? You know, and am I kind of overthinking it maybe?
No, I don't think you're overthinking it at all. I mean, it's something that I constantly struggle with. And I think if you add to that a healthy dose of being inquisitive, then you've got this the situation, which I sometimes describe to my friends and colleagues, and I say sometimes I feel like a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do with a car if I actually caught one, because I've got all of these little side projects that I'm getting into and things that I'm investigating. What keeps me on the straight and narrow though, and kind of keeps me focused, is the realization that I've got a finite amount of time available to myself for skilling up. I need to make all of that count, and picking the technology that's in the direction or the area in which I'm working and in the area in which I want to move into, there's typically, when you start breaking it down in that way, you realize that there's a handful of languages that are very prominent in a particular area. So if we take the data space as an example, which is one that I work in, if you're looking at advanced analytics, sort of machine learning, some data science, then you'll realize that there's basically two very prominent languages that these people use, and that's R and Python. Obviously, there is a lot of other languages as well, but as an example, the guys at Google that wrote TensorFlow, their machine learning library, that was written in C, if memory serves me correct. But they've then got bindings for all of these other languages that people normally tend to use in that space. So you find that what you focus on, the area that you're working in and that you want to move into, that helps you narrow down the field of things that you should be looking at. And then over time, as you work in it more and more, it becomes easier to pick things up because you've got a large knowledge base, from past experience that allows you to really ramp up very quickly, on a new technology.
Interesting. Yeah. So I think it's just, is it kind of a, is it just like a fundamental thing? Once you have the kind of fundamental understanding, it's of kind of the languages that occupy your specific niche, for example.
Yeah, it does. Of the most, shall I say, skilled people that I've ever worked with, guys that were just amazing developers, were people that understood programming, not at a language specific level, but at a problem solving kind of a more fundamental level. And for them, the language is just it's just a dialect. It's a different flavor of expressing logic and solving problems. And they would pick a language up exceptionally quickly because they've got that fundamental understanding of what it is they're actually doing, on the tin that they're working with. The language is kind of it's a different flavor of expressing the logic that they need in order to solve the problems.
I like that. And how did you kind of, I suppose, learn and like what if you were, this is just pure selfish now, but how did you kind of get into it, and what would kind of your advice be for someone now like me who's like, trying to learn like some basic fundamentals?
I think, for me getting into it, I studied IT at university, but I did more of a business and informatics degree, which has served me really well in hindsight, but not at the I didn't think that at the time. So I've always had a bit of a background in it from there. But I, to be honest, I mean my first job was basically, working with a product where we did demand and inventory management, on and SQL Server was our database. So the first language that I really got into, if I can call it a language, is SQL, because it's a query language, and we had to that's what we had to use, to customize the solution for our clients. And I was fortunate to work with some really good developers who were really good at mentoring the new junior guys, and I think there's a lot to be said for having good mentors early on in your career. It makes a massive difference. And then it's been a lot of self-study. I think I realized the first year, of working, I realized that, if I wanted to finish university and tell myself this is it, I don't have to pick up another book, then I've clearly chosen the wrong career because it just does not end in IT. You're continuously having to learn, and in recent years, some of the greatest learning material that you can get is, with some of the online courses that's available. I particularly like a company called Udacity. They are very, very good. I really like the way in which they present their courses. I do a lot of edX training. And then good old-fashioned books when you've got a particular subject and you get some good book recommendations from other people that work in that area, going through good old written words and being able to do all of the examples in a book, that really does help to kind of get you interested and get you to a level where you can start playing around with it. And then obviously you need to find a project or something that you are actually going to apply those skills to, because that's where you really learn. That's where you get a good understanding of what it is that you're lacking and what it is that you've already learned. And then you just kind of build on that and iterate in that way. Look up the things that you don't know, study the things that you don't fully grasp until you really get them, and then move on to the next thing.
Brilliant. I like that. I like that. I've taken some notes there, so I'm gonna check them out. I was looking at one. I started doing it on Code Academy, if you know that one. But
Yes,
yes,
Code
Code
Academy
Academy
is
is
also
also
good.
good. Code. Okay, good. I'm glad I got the tick of approval there, and I haven't just spent $16.99 a month to learn how to to on anything rubbish. Interesting. And I think, like you say, do you think there'll be a time where, like you were kind of we were referring to earlier, where everyone's going to have a basic fundamental understanding of like development work?
I don't know. I think that's a very debated question at this point in time. I've seen the flame wars erupt on Hacker News and on Reddit and those things when people comment on this question. I think it depends. I think there's going to be certain jobs in which it is going to be very much a requirement. A lot of technology jobs would. People would really benefit from having that knowledge, but then I don't think everyone in the world necessarily would need to be able to code in order to add value to society. I think it's very easy to fly the flag of everyone needs to learn to code, but the problem with that is if you don't code for a living, 5 years down the line, if you've not used those skills, then the industry has moved on. And you're going to have to relearn that again. So it really depends on the direction you want to take your career
Yeah, God, it's such a question for me at the moment. I'm just like, I really want to do it, but then, like you say, the rate and pace that I'm kind of learning things, it's like it's going to be like something completely different by the time I get my head around it. God.
I think one of the cool things, the best way that I've heard it described was, one of the core contributors to the Django project, the Python web framework, he compared coding to jogging, and he said, you don't need to be the best jogger or the best distance runner in the world to actually do marathons, to enjoy the sport and to be active in it. There are people of all levels in there. Just find something that you're passionate about, and even if it's just automating stuff in your day-to-day workflow. If you realize that you can save yourself an hour each day if you can automate a task, then it's worth investing the time to learn the skills to do that, automate it, and then use that hour that you've now got spare every day to focus on something else, and improve your performance. So it's that kind of attitude I think that people need to learn. Everyone's always trying to be a oh, I hate these buzzwords. If I see something for a ninja rock star developer somewhere being posted, I'm immediately sad to see that because it makes it out to be this sort of cult thing, where everyone you need to be a 10 times developer in order to add value, and that's not necessarily the case.
Right. Well, thanks for that. I think that was like a bit of comfort in there from you, so I appreciate that. But no, I think so. And I think, like say, I think for me the compelling thing is the automation side of things. Like, I just if I could automate some tasks in my life, Jesus, what a luxury. So yeah, I think that that would be my preference. But I think we covered a lot there, mate. We're coming up to half an hour, and I know you've got to get back to this SQL project soon. So I hope that's been enough time to wind down a little bit, maybe take another 10, get a quick coffee break, get some nootropics in you or something,
Yeah.
and back to work.
No, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website venturi-group.com and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.